Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Danny Meringue.
And then I went to this movie theater. This is it. I made a noise like this.
Dusty Hera.
Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other.
I'm beginning to like this kid, Mike.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
Are you good?
The Fan.
I will have to do my hip thrust for the game.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday afternoon in the Rose City. And I'm down in Eugene. I'm trying to find on the TVs down here the Houston Astros losing to the Detroit Tigers in the AL wildcard. Postseason's here, my friend.
That's
postseason
right.
Baseball is here. Giddy up, Buttercup. We got a few games today. Astros and Tigers are in the top of the sixth down in Houston. 3-0 Detroit. Nothing to see there. Royals play the Orioles at 1 o'clock. Mets, Brewers at 2:30. And Braves, Padres at 5:30. It is a little weird to have baseball on and like meaningful baseball this early in the day.
No, I feel like the playoffs are always earlier in the day, especially like the wild card round because you have so many games. What's weird is to see another person excited about meaningful baseball at this time of year. As a Mariners fan, I've really only known what that experience is like once. So it's foreign to me when I see you excited in October about baseball.
Yeah. Maybe one day you will. Maybe.
Once again. I'd love to. I'd really hope so. We just got to get to that 54% mark. If we can just win 54% of the time.
I've talked about this. The most cruel aspect of this season is literally you win 54% of your games, you're in the playoffs.
Well, shoot.
That was 54% was the line to get into the postseason.
Here's the worst
on
part.
On the dot, you win 54% on the dot, you're in.
Here's the worst part. You were up at one point like 8-0 on the Royals. You blow the game 10-9 in some meaningless game, or at least we thought was a meaningless game, in the middle of the season. And you missed the playoffs by one game to who? The freaking Royals.
Yep. And then you win your last four.
Well, that's classic Seattle Mariner baseball. As soon as we're eliminated, no one's better than us, baby.
Pressure's off, my man.
Pressure's off, my man. Now Julio's going to hit a bunch of home runs. Make that stat line look better.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go. I'm sorry. I'm sorry Mariner fans have to go through that. It's not fair. It's not right. You guys deserve better, yada, yada, yada. Maybe next year, 54%.
Well, I heard that Stanton and DePoto have gotten really big into waste management this season. So in the offseason, they're going to look into...
garbage?
More trash cans around the stadium, and they think that that will help them pay off next season.
Again.
Maybe the offense will turn up a little bit.
Again, you need to listen to... there's an Odyssey podcast about the Astros scandal.
Ooh, I can't wait to check it out.
Yeah, no, it's really good until Mariners fans hear the part that the guy who was so aggressive in implementing it worked for the Mariners before.
Well, that's why he was never caught. He worked for the Mariners. They were hitting 200 with the trash cans getting banged. They would have been hitting 180 without it. Nice deflection there. The guy who started it, just, you know, whatever. We're not the first crime family. A different crime family started the mafia. We just branched out into our own thing.
They absolutely went and they said, all right, well, we'll just do it more aggressive than anybody else. But everybody wants to act like their crappy franchises are
I am the victim.
And everything.
My
yeah,
franchise is the victim.
Every single one
of
is.
Your heinous crimes. Continue to sit over there in Eugene and deflect from your ivory tower.
I will, with the two World Series rings, too.
Are they blocking your ears like Patrick Waugh?
Yes, sir. Wait, what? Is that what he says?
Yeah, have you not heard that? It's a great great interview clip.
What'd he say?
Well, basically...
Legendary goalie, Colorado Avalanche, Patrick Waugh.
That's right, and Montreal. Someone was making fun of him for something that he did, and he goes, well, you can tell that guy that I can't hear him because I have both of my Stanley Cup title rings blocking my ears.
Hey-o!
That's a great clip. Great.
That is fantastic. Major League Baseball postseason is well underway with the Astros, to the joy of many, getting beat 3-0 right now in the sixth inning to the Detroit Tigers. So you can keep that one in. And just underway is Baltimore and Kansas City. I like that series. I like that matchup. That's a fun one, too. Baltimore-Kansas City. I think for these wild card rounds, I think three of the four are really intriguing, with Kansas City-Baltimore, Atlanta and San Diego, and then Detroit and Houston, because the manager of Detroit, oh, by the way, AJ Hinch, former Houston Astros manager.
There you go. Well,
fired in the wake of the cheating scandal.
Just so they could bring back Dusty. I'll tell you what, though. I think that series, the Detroit and Houston one, might be the most intriguing to me, not just because Houston's an AL West team, but because Detroit... this is one of the most improbable runs of all time. Like, they don't have a true, like, star other than Skubal, the pitcher, who's probably going to be the AL Cy Young. Aside from it, like, you go down the list, they don't have a big home run hitter. They don't have a big on-base guy. They don't have a big gold glove guy in the outfield. They're just a bunch of misfit toys that all of a sudden realized, you know, halfway through the year, hey, we can be halfway decent. You've got a decent staff headlined by your big ace, who he's going to go out there, and it looks like he's dominated so far in this game. You've turned to the bullpen now, so we'll see if you're able to hold on. But if Detroit wins game one, you just got to get one of the other two, and you've got a bunch of guys right now who don't know that they're not supposed to be good. Why couldn't they do it?
They're a really fun team. And the same thing with San Diego, right? Juan Soto goes over to New York, and people kind of start writing off San Diego, struggle it out of the gate, and then they get red hot at the end of the year and go on an insane tear at the end of the season. They play the Atlanta Braves, who've just been banged up and hurt all season long and still really damn good in a window open for a World Series. And then Kansas City and Baltimore are just two great stories, right?
Right.
Young, uber-talented team in Baltimore. You got Bobby Witt Jr. and the Kansas City Royals kind of holding on for dear life at the end of the year. That's really fun. The only series that doesn't really do much for me is Mets and Milwaukee.
Yeah, I don't really care. Although, to be fair, like with Milwaukee, your manager, who was a big deal last year, left to go coach in Chicago because he wanted to be the Cubs manager. You go hire some random dude. You're not supposed to be all that good, and you've just turned into one of the better teams in the NL. So
pick up a dude off the street, bruh.
I mean, it's baseball, right? It's a reason why baseball has an issue at times of finding national popularity, right? Baseball is good in the region that it's in because you watch the team every single night and you become a fan of the players. But nationally, some of the best teams right now, Detroit and talking about Milwaukee, like who's your star? Who's your big name player? I couldn't name any. Like, I know about Skubal. That's about it. And I'm a pretty big sports fan. I watch baseball pretty much every night. And between those two teams, I can name you one big-time star. And so I think it's a cool story to watch because it's a bunch of underdog guys.
Yeah, everybody likes the underdog story, too, you know? They got Contreras, don't they? Milwaukee, don't they got Contreras?
Let's pull up their roster right now.
Yeah, I think he's their. Yeah, I think he is their. I think William Contreras is their catcher, right?
Sure.
Catcher hits for average. All right. Okay. Well, yeah. Baseball.
Milwaukee Jr. They do have William Contreras.
Yeah.
Can you name another?
Another Milwaukee Brewer?
Can you name another Milwaukee Brewer?
Craig Counsell.
I don't know that he's on here. I've got the playoff roster up right now. Can you name another? There is one name that sticks out.
Freddy Peralta, pitcher. Pitcher.
You got one. Freddy Peralta is on the roster. They also have Aaron Civale.
What's his name? The kid who was an all-star last year.
For the NL? Because there is one who's been you're thinking Reese Hoskins.
Reese Hoskins plays? I had no idea.
Yeah.
Former Philly?
Yes, he is a part of the infield.
No idea. No idea. Huh. All right. Well, Milwaukee Brewers, catch the fever.
Little team that could.
See, and that's, I think that might be right there what we just talked about. The most frustrating part about the Seattle Mariners is that you have Julio Rodriguez. You have four legitimate starting pitchers.
You really have five.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you have five. Okay,
Bryce Miller's good, because Bryce Miller's your fifth. Bryce Miller's really dang good.
But you have Julio, you have Rosarina.
Cal Raleigh.
All right, okay, Cal Raleigh. But I'm saying, like, household, you have a couple household names on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And the big dumper is, like, a guy that fan base gravitates towards. He's not really a household name, but... You have some name recognition, and you always have, and you just can't, for whatever reason, can't get over the hump. And you bring guys in like Teoscar Hernandez last year, where you think like he's going to be the guy who hits. He doesn't hit. Then he goes to L.A., goes back to hitting home runs, and wins a home run derby this year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like that sucks. Then that's the history of the Mariners, and I feel bad for Mariners fans, man.
They find a way to lose. But, hey, guess what? They are committed to being willing to spend more money this offseason. They didn't say how much money, but more.
Okay. Okay.
Could
All
it
right.
be a dollar more? Could it be $50 million more?
Sure.
We'll find out.
I'll go ahead and believe it when I see it. All right, let's get to Monday Night Football, because last night we had perfection in Detroit. Next on The Fan.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports.
With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event, happening now, and save up to 50% off select styles, plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Fun little Monday Night Football game last night on ABC as the Seattle Seahawks, and right here on The Fan, flew over to Detroit to take on the Lions, and that game was just a wild game when you take into consideration scoring down in the NFL this year, and we get a 42-29 game. Like, those are fun to watch. It was kind of an outlier and an anomaly game that it looked like, let's not get it twisted, Detroit looked comfortable, and they didn't really feel like it was threatening at really any point, especially in the second half. It was 21-24 like midway through the third quarter, and then Detroit, just every single time Seattle scored, there was an answer from Detroit. And they looked comfortable, they looked in command, and nobody looked in more command than Jared Goff last night. And we saw a game of perfection from Jared Goff. 18 of 18. 292 yards, two touchdowns, zero interceptions on the game. I think that is bonkers, dude.
I think you can make the argument he was 19 for 19 because he caught the other one, too.
Yeah, ball never hit the ground. And he doesn't qualify for any of the NFL's records because he didn't complete 20 passes or attempt 20 passes on the game. But I've seen a lot of people try to knock Jared Goff in that performance of, well, I mean, he didn't push the ball down the field. So what, we want guys to push the ball down the field and throw in completions? Is that what we want?
Right.
And they're like, hey, well, I mean, he only averaged, I think it was 4.9 yards per air through the air on attempts. Everything was just underneath. It's like, well, yeah, but he also averaged 16.2 yards per attempt on the game. And I think there is something to be said about this era where teams are trying to keep everything underneath and a quarterback finding his receivers open enough to where they make the play and they get the gain afterwards, right? Like, right. It really does not matter to me that Jared Goff was a check down Charlie, because the throw to Jameson Williams was perfect. And that was one where it was like an intermediate pass, but it was a perfect throw to Jameson Williams where it went for 70. He had one to Laporta, his tight end, where, sure, doesn't go through the air very many yards, but it was a gain of 30. Tim Patrick also had a gain of 30 on the game. Like, you're sitting there and you're going, so we want to sit there and knock a performance of 18 for 18 and say, yeah, but he didn't throw the ball down the field. No, take what the defense gives you, for goodness sakes. I think a lot of teams watching their quarterbacks would say, why don't you just throw it to the guy who's open? Well, if the guy who's open is underneath, allow him to go and get yards after the catch. And I think that was the most impressive part about the Lions' performance in Jared Goff last night.
Right. Well, first, remember, heard here on Danny and Dusty yesterday, I did say I didn't, if you're going to bet anything, bet the over in this game, right?
Yeah.
So good for Big Will Betts. There we go.
Big Will Betts.
Just making sure I can pat myself on the back. Hopefully my hand doesn't hurt afterwards. Mm-hmm. But I think that a lot of the people that are complaining about Jared Goff's performance are the same people that would rip him apart if he was like 10 for 18 and then they lose this game. You start looking back at the still shots and it's like, oh, well, this guy's wide open here. This guy. Everyone just wants to have a dissenting opinion, right? They want to be different. Everyone else is going to talk about how great he was, how perfect he was. Let's be different. So that's stupid. I'll tell you what right now, as good as Jared Goff was, and he was perfect, Ben Johnson, if there's a range above perfect, he called a masterclass of a game because he knew that Seattle was going to be without three of their four starting defensive linemen. So he knows that he can have these longer developing crossing routes, and that's going to mess with the zone that McDonald was playing in. Seattle has been one of the best defenses against the pass this whole season. They've been one of the best defenses in total this whole season. So they go out and they pick apart Mike McDonald's defense by throwing a bunch of crossing routes, a bunch of stuff that's over the middle, and then let your athletes out-athlete the Seahawks defenders. And they did a fantastic job of this. To be able to go out, I think, for the Lions and dominate offensively against this Seahawks team, which I do think will be a playoff team. I don't know that they'll win the division, but I think that they should be able to wrap up a wild card spot. I think it's a big boost because you might see this team in January.
Yeah, it was a cool performance, and it was one that was, it really was, it was understated, you know, during the game and when you watched him play. But, you know, he was the epitome of efficiency in that game, and even to the point where his coach, Dan Campbell, didn't even realize that he was perfect on the game. And Rust, I know we had the audio of that. Can we hit the Dan Campbell?
Yeah, well, I just gave the game ball to somebody else, so I feel awful right now. Yeah. No, I knew he played a heck of a game. I did not realize he was perfect. I did not know he was literally 18 for 18. But I knew he played really well. You could feel it, and he really found his rhythm early. And I thought he was seeing the field, played with rhythm. He had to move a little bit in the pocket. I thought what really kickstarted him is the, you know, he had to kind of move in the pocket, got spun around, and hung with J-Mo and hit him on the hook for the first down. It was big, man, because he was rolling after that. But just a number of huge throws, played with poise, got us in the right play. You know, it was a heck of a play on the down in the red zone on the catch. Good throw by Saint. You know, been working that. So I just thought it was excellent, you know, and credit to Ben Johnson, too. I thought he called a heck of a game. It was a good game plan, and really everybody on that offense, you know, stepped up and found a rhythm today.
Jameson Williams got the game ball offensively for the Lions last night. Two catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown.
He caught both of his targets. He was perfect too, technically. Dusty,
yeah, you can only get the ones that you get that are thrown to you.
Was this the best quarterback game we've seen so far this season?
Geno and Goff, I mean, it was
Geno's
pretty damn impressive.
Geno's 5 yards away from 400. Now, obviously, he wasn't perfect, and he has a lot more attempts, but they were behind much of that game. His offensive line did him no favors. I felt like Geno was moving around constantly because that offensive line was getting after him. I was really impressed with Ryan Grubb's game plan. You're seeing a big difference in the Seahawks offense because they have started using the middle of the field. Under Shane Waldron, they never ran routes into the middle of the field. They're doing it all the time now.
Bears fans?
Oh, yeah. No, it's bad.
They're not happy with Shane Waldron either.
I warned Bears fans about what they were going to see, and he likes to attack the outsides. He doesn't attack the insides. DK Metcalf, I also feel like this year has I don't want to say exploded, but I feel like based on what his performance has been under this new Ryan Grubb system, I feel like he's a top 8 to 10 wide receiver in the NFL right now. Like, there aren't many you're going to take over him. He had 7 catches for 104 yards. He didn't have a touchdown. He probably should have. He caused multiple defensive pass interference calls in this game. I mean, yes, he has the one fumble, but there's a part of me where it's like, he broke 3 tackles. Am I really going to punish him because the fourth guy made an incredible play and got the ball just out at the last moment?
Got to take care of that ball, bro.
He does, but I'm not going to crucify a guy
who's
ran through 3 big tackles. Also, Kenneth Walker's broken tackle was insane. But I just feel like when
rolling over the guy?
Yes.
That was crazy.
He rolls over him twice to break the tackle.
But yeah.
What I'm saying is, in a season where we've talked about offensive play as a whole being down, quarterback yardage, quarterback percentages being down, this felt to me like you saw 2 quarterbacks, albeit unlikely candidates for this, go out and play pretty dang close to A-plus performance from both of them, and you had one of the more exciting games that this year has had.
Yeah, the interception at the end for the Lions, I mean, that was, you know,
great catch.
It was an incredible catch in the end zone where he gets his hand underneath and the ball looked like it. Well, the ball did move, but he had his hand underneath it. That was a crazy catch. And I'm not going to pin that on Geno because time is your enemy at that point. You're trying to get a score late to keep within striking distance. I agree with you. I think that was an incredible game by both of them. I mean, That was a hell of a football game, and it made up for the stinker that we had in the other Monday night game between the Titans and the Miami Dolphins, where for as good as of quarterback play we had in Detroit, in Miami it was equally bad. In between Will Levis, Mason Rudolph, and Tyler Huntley.
It was really, really bad. I saw one of the greatest tweets I've ever seen. I can't credit him because I don't remember who tweeted it, but it was a Tennessee fan, and they said, tonight feels like there's a JV and a varsity game playing at the same time, and unfortunately for me, my son plays on the JV team.
Yep. That was fun. That was a fun game, though, and Detroit's the real deal, man, and I can't wait to watch them kind of over the course of a 17-game regular season schedule. They're 3-1. Seahawks only 3-1. They suffered their first loss of the season, and I think it's important that we kind of point that one out too, in that we only have 2 unbeatens left in the NFL. We're only through 4 weeks, and we only have 2 unbeaten teams. The Kansas City Chiefs, which, looking for a three-peat, running the ball really well. And when Patrick Mahomes starts clicking, that's a win, not an if. They are going to be even more terrifying because he's not right now. Travis Kelce's not right now. The Rashee Rice injury is a big one for them. A little bit of karma. But Rashee Rice going down with that ACL is going to be a massive blow. They're on the market for a new wide receiver, which now that, according to Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network, Devontae Adams has officially requested a trade from Vegas. Vegas will not trade Devontae Adams to Kansas City.
No chance.
In the division, not going to happen.
Where's his landing spot, though?
Go back to Green Bay. New York with the Jets.
I was going to say, like, Green Bay or New York. And Green Bay's not going to take him.
Maybe somewhere in the NFC, like if Washington. Look, Washington didn't want to get in on the Brandon Ayuk trade. If Washington is taking a look at it and going, look, our quarterback's really damn good.
Let's go all in.
Pair Devontae Adams with Terry McLaurin, I think we can be really damn good moving forward. Is Washington a potential landing spot for him?
Depends on if they have enough pieces, because I think you're going to have to give up draft capital. Although for Washington, the draft capital, ironically, is now, it's not as good anymore because they are good. And they feel like a legit contender to make the playoffs because of how well Daniels has played.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how they would do it, but let's not rule out Jerry Jones in Dallas doing something stupid and giving up way too much and saying, you know what, this is going to fix us. But yeah, it will be really interesting to see where a guy like Devontae Adams lands, because he's got a lot of miles left on him. I wouldn't also rule out Cleveland in this too. Cleveland tried to get in on the Brandon Ayuk trade, remember. They feel like they're a franchise spinning their tires in the mud right now. Deshaun Watson is your problem, Cleveland. It's not your receivers right now. But they tried to get in on the Ayuk deal. So who knows where their head is or what they want to do. But Davante Adams will find a home. I hope it is with a contender and a legit one, because he deserves it, man. And he's a really stinking good wide receiver. But that's crazy. I don't know how this all shakes out, but we got two unbeatens. Minnesota and Kansas City remain, and that's it. And if you look down the schedule, Minnesota has come out of the gate. They have wins over the 49ers, the Texans, and the Packers. They have the Jets and then the Lions. And I think everybody's kind of circling October 20th against the Lions and what that game kind of has in store for Minnesota, because that is their next massive test. And for the Kansas City Chiefs, look, they're going through the injury bug, as we just outlined, and kind of where do they fill their holes. They get New Orleans this week at home, and then they go on the road after a bye to the San Francisco 49ers. So,
and San Francisco, I guarantee, will be healthy by then.
You're going to guarantee that? I'm making no guarantees.
I guarantee everyone on a team but with the Bosa. CMC. I guarantee everyone but CMC.
Okay.
I think they'll all be back by the time they play the Seahawks.
All right. Okay, let's get to our worst day on the web. But first is Russ with SportsCenter.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
All right, now time for our worst day on the web, which often it goes to a best day on the web. And I wanted to put this at the worst day because of the blasphemy that my co-host today, Will Ortner, because Danny is at Trailblazers training camp. They're opening the doors to training camp today for the Portland Trailblazers. So Danny is there. He'll be back tomorrow. No worries, everybody. He'll be back mañana. But you blasted the great name of Merton Hanks.
It's a stupid name. That's why
it's
only
an all-time name.
One person has that name. That's why it's stupid.
No. Merton's going to name a comeback. That is going to make a comeback, that name is.
No, it's not. Merton does my taxes. And there's only one guy named Merton.
See, that's why he went...
It doesn't sound like a football name.
He went counter to that, and he ended up being a great football player. One of the best roaming the secondaries in the 90s, Merton Hanks. But today, we have the top 25 names in college football. And I want to see how many of these you are going to... Sully as well, because you sully the fine name of Merton Hanks. What are you going to do with Maury Bamba, the cornerback from BYU?
Maury Bamba. That's a fine
name. How about
a
great? I mean, this is a great name for a corner. Mobility.
That's a great name.
He's a corner at Rice. Mobility. Hell yeah!
Hopefully he's flexible. Does he play multiple positions?
Well, you can go to, he's a tight end from Northern Colorado, Cash Cheeks. I mean, if you play tight end, Cash Cheeks is a phenomenal name.
It's better than Catch.
I hope his nickname is Stink. You know, Stink Cheeks. It's like, oh, brother. All right. What about... you go the military route. General Booty.
Always been a follower of the great General Booty.
All right.
Big
how about,
fan.
He's quarterback, Louisiana Monroe, Oklahoma transfer, General Booty, down to UL Monroe. Mm-hmm.
How about this for a kicker from UTEP, Buzz Flabiano?
Wait. Buzz Flabiano? He plays kicker at UTEP?
Yes.
I'm trying to say what's up to Buzz.
Golly, that's not the worst kicker name of all time because Chris Blewett is the worst name for a kicker ever.
You can't be a kicker and your name be Blewett.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the worst name would be like, you know, Todd Shanks. That's the only thing worse.
Jeff Noonan.
As a golfer.
Yeah. Or a kicker, yeah. Noonan. Yeah.
Steve Slice.
Buzz Flaviano. That's great. What Georgia State has a safety named Dicey Hopkins.
Dicey Hopkins. That's pretty good. I was going to say, isn't there, what's the USA running back? South Alabama. Boof? Something like that?
I don't know.
Hold on. I'll find it.
He didn't make the list of top 25.
He should have.
Well, is he going to have a better name than Oklahoma State safety Willie Nelson?
Nope.
Not a chance.
That's a great name. That's
not
a
chance.
What, Georgia and State safety D.I.C. Hopkins?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I've got it. What? Fluff Bothwell.
Fluff Bothwell? That's
the great good. Fluff Bothwell. He had 10 Whoa. Carries for 17 yards against LSU.
Huh.
See, pretty good name. Pretty good name.
Yeah, but it's not like Hollywood Smothers or Turbo Richard.
I want Turbo.
Boston College has a running back, too. Running back named Turbo Richard.
I wish that he was a
fat D-lineman.
It's
got to be Rashard, right?
I wish that he was like a 6'5", like 400-pound D-lineman that wore like number 6 with a back plate that was way too small. Like, yes, this is Turbo Richards.
Yeah, he's got a single-digit number, and you're just like, I don't know if that makes sense.
Just way
there
too
is
fat.
Local flair on the top 25 names in college football. Ooh. Tiger Shanks, offensive lineman, UNLV. He went to Lakeridge, I believe, Tiger Shanks.
Wow, that's an interesting name, because Tiger didn't shank until his accident.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Do you think he's named after Tiger Woods?
Gotta be, right? Well, I mean, like, everyone's named Kobe now. There's so many Kobes. I teach a ton of Kobes for Hawkinson, Washington, or Ridgefield, Washington. Yeah. It's too many Kobes.
Unfortunate name for Ohio offensive lineman Parker Titsworth.
Perfect O-lineman name. Perfect O-lineman name.
That's my favorite because I'm a child.
You can't be a skinny guy named Parker Titsworth. You can't. You have to be an O or D-lineman, and it's much better if you're an O-lineman.
Yeah, there's one that I we're gonna need. I have to go to the pronunciation guide for Purdue defensive lineman.
I don't think we can get in trouble because it's his name.
I know, but I'm gonna you have to have. You got to go to the pronunciation guide and just make sure that we're on the up and up here.
Is this
because that would be an unfortunate. A very, very, and look, the Ducks go to West Lafayette October 18th. I mean, I'm going to have this one dialed in anyways.
Yes.
You don't want to mess that one up.
Is this like the Boston Red Sox new starting pitcher, the great Richard Fitz type deal?
My
new favorite baseball player, by the way.
Yes. Yeah.
Is it a similar vein?
Yeah, but
that's his name.
I feel like
it's his name. It's beautiful.
I feel like this one could be even more problematic.
I have one thing on Twitter where I get automatic notifications, and it's any time that the great Richard Fitz pitches.
Well,
get updated.
You know, that's what they had to do for the movie, you know, Meet the Fockers, right?
Yeah.
They had to go and find somebody, and I believe it's a family in Canada, with that last name. And so they were like, nope, it's real. Like, this is a real name.
It's cool.
We can do it. And they had to do some digging for that one. They made it happen.
I was going to say, is this kind of like that show about the creek? If you know what I'm talking about?
It's 100. Well, no, Schitt's Creek is, again, they had to do kind of the same thing as find a
family with that name.
Family with that name. And I have not been able to find a pronunciation for this young man's name.
Can I get a spelling?
Yeah. Well, no.
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 I think you should just give it a shot. Like, what's the worst thing that could happen?
Okay.
I'm just kidding. Don't.
His name. No, it is. I'll go with the safe one.
Okay.
Shida Salah. S-H-I-T-T-A, Shida Salah.
That's a S-I-L-L-A. That feels like one of the fake names that I would put in NCAA football, just trying to see if I could get it through, and they would allow me to do it.
Yep. 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 That is Juke Mitchell, too, is a wide receiver from Ohio State. That's a solid name.
That's
dude.
A good name. I was always a big fan of Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, great one.
Beautiful. Or DeColdest Crawford.
Yeah, this one is on here, too. Aristotle Taylor, defensive lineman at Stanford. There was a running back at Jesuit in the mid-90s, probably when you were in high school, Rust.
Yeah.
Aristotle Thompson. And he ended up going and playing at Boise State. For a long time, he was coaching at Boise State, too. And I think he went to Cal Poly when Tim Walsh went down to take over Cal Poly. But Aristotle Thompson, I remember being a kid and just being like, that's a badass name.
Right.
And he is really good at football.
It makes sense that Aristotle went to Stanford. I mean, known for being smart. You can't be dumb and have the name Aristotle.
Oh, I think you could.
No, you can't. It's like naming your kid Tank and then him being 5'6", 140. That can't happen.
Aristotle Thompson, Jesuit High, pride of Jesuit High, running backs coach at Cal.
Oh, nice.
Smart guy school.
Hey, you know what? He coaches with my good friend, Coach Winterhawk.
Wait, what?
I played with one of their O-line coaches down there at Central Washington, Winterhawk Layton, and he is down at Cal Berkeley.
His name is Winterhawk?
Coach Hawk, yeah.
Were they big, like, Portland Winterhawk fans? Did they?
Well, he's Native American.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go.
He was born up, he went to Ferndale High School, pride of Ferndale.
All right.
And I recruited Winterhawk, and I stayed at Central so long, he was my O-line coach my last year at Central. I was the guy who got him to commit to Central, and then he became my coach.
Oh, no. Will.
He had a back injury. I had a COVID year. It was an early retirement situation.
Oh, my gosh, buddy. That's a one heck of a... That's a journey that you went on there.
It's really weird talking to your buddy and having to be like, yes, sir, no, sir. And then being like, hey, we meeting up for tacos later.
Yeah, tacos. I bet that's what you guys are meeting up for.
We were O-linemen. What'd you expect from us?
Come on.
Taco Tuesday.
You know that you guys were pounding beers together, too.
Well,
don't tell me.
Come on.
Don't tell me that you weren't doing that. I know this game. I know how it goes. They're buddy. All right. So those are top 25 names in all of college football. Best day on the web. And look, you didn't take any of them to task, and I'm proud of you for that. Now you need to do the right thing, and you need to go and make sure that the man, the myth, the legend, Merton Hanks, has a little respect to his name.
I will not. That name is stupid.
All right. Some potential landing spots for Devontae Adams.
Your kid Earl.
Earl?
Earl. That's an old man name.
Great name.
Old
strong name.
Strong
name, Earl.
Old man. Not strong. Old.
Could you imagine seeing a little baby name Earl, though? That'd be badass.
No.
Kid probably comes out of the womb with a mustache.
Yeah, no. You're damn right he does.
I'm naming my kid Walker.
And a bald spot.
The next
Walker,
one,
Texas Ranger. Yeah, all right. Yeah, Talladega Nights there. All right, where Devontae Adams lands next on The Fan. Tom Pelissero, the NFL Network, is reporting that Devontae Adams has officially requested a trade from the Las Vegas Raiders, wanting to find a new home in the NFL. This season for Vegas going nowhere very quickly. And I think that Adams is disgruntled. Did you watch any of the receivers doc on Netflix?
I did. I binged the whole thing. It's why it's so surprising to me, because I felt like he got along really well with Pierce.
But he may get along with his coach. But you also saw in that, remember the Jimmy Garoppolo thing where he said he's going to get me killed?
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
You saw a lot of that coming from, that energy coming from Devontae Adams the last couple of weeks. And when you have Aiden O'Connell as your backup and Gardner Minshew as your starter, he's looking at this as his time that he has to win in his career. And I don't knock a guy one bit. If you are in a franchise that is going nowhere right now, if your thing is you want to win, then yeah, go and do it, man. Go find a place where you can succeed and you can thrive. And if a Super Bowl is your goal, go and try and get that. Which leads to the question of where does a guy like Devontae Adams end up? In what teams feasibly can bring on his contract and have the capital to give Vegas something in return? Where, like, the weirdest thing about Vegas right now is they've had so many iterations of their front office that have kind of screwed it up, right? Mm-hmm. And the biggest one was they screwed up the haul that they got for Khalil Mack, and they got very little to show for it. Right. I think one guy is even on the roster still from that. And that was, you know, your John Gruden, Mike Mayock, just absolutely going boneheaded in the draft and taking flyers left and right. But what teams are in win-now mode that have the ability to bring on Devontae Adams and his contract? And, you know, you can shuffle around pieces, but $23.3 million for a wide receiver, kind of a bargain now in the NFL? Right.
Yeah.
For a receiver of his talent, obviously still very highly paid, and a guy that is going to command a lot of your cap, especially if you are an elite team right now. If you look at salary cap space in the NFL, don't know how this is true, but it is. Do you know which team has the most salary cap space in the National Football League right now?
No. Is Detroit?
It would be the last team that you would guess.
The Dallas Cowboys.
It is the San Francisco 49ers.
See, this is why the salary cap isn't real, because there's no way that they have the most space. There's no way. I
mean, they've had to make some really tough decisions on their roster, letting guys walk, right? And they're clearing the deck, though, because they know they have to pay Brock Purdy moving forward. Mm-hmm. San Francisco is out on this conversation. And when you sign guys new deals that are going to be kicking in, you defer that, or you manipulate the salary cap by converting signing bonuses, right?
Right.
So they may have the cash in hand, but then you go down the list. Cleveland is second. Cleveland is a team that I brought up as a potential landing spot. Detroit is third. Detroit is third on this list, but they're also in that situation where they know, you know, they've gave Amon-Ra St. Brown a big deal. They gave Penei Sewell his big deal. You are going to have to pay Aiden Hutchinson a King's ransom moving forward.
And he's worth every penny.
He is worth every penny. But what other teams are in this mode of win now and we got money to dispose of? It'd be really interesting to see, because you get a prorated of that $23 million from Devontae Adams. Buffalo only has like 3.8. They have popped up as a potential landing spot. Obviously, Josh Allen is having an insane year. Shakir Khalil is having a great year. Keon Coleman is starting to come around. They still have a void as a number one receiver. But Josh Allen is almost playing better without a number one receiver, because it's like, I don't have to force feed the ball to anybody. I don't have to lock on and make sure a guy gets targets. A guy like Devontae Adams, though, that unlocks so much in your offense and so much more of what you can do. I wouldn't be surprised if Buffalo is a player in this, and their name has popped up.
I feel like Buffalo would maybe stay away, though, because, I mean, yes, I understand that he opens up a lot of stuff for them, but don't you think that could hurt the growth of a Keon Coleman? Because it feels to me like Keon is starting to at least emerge in, he's getting deep throw targets. Yep. Now, he might not be converting on them as much this year, but he is. And what they're doing a lot, especially with Brady now taking over as that OC, they're running the football a lot more. And I think that's opening up the pass game, because the issue in the past with those Buffalo Bills teams, other than having to force feed Stephon Diggs or he'd throw a temper tantrum, was that they had no running game despite having that gigantic offensive line. You're letting the O-line kind of now go downhill, and you're opening up your pass through the run game. So I'd be worried about killing that.
I don't think you will, though. We have a potential out with Devontae Adams after this season, so it could be your one-year rental at a prorated version. Yeah. If it doesn't work out, it's in the short term. You can get to Keon Coleman and continue his growth and development, but if you have a window that's open, you got to attack that window and say, all right, now is the time. I think the Jets are a kind of the no-brainer that's kind of popped up, but does that fit with Devontae Adams? Because they're not a team that's going to win right now. We know they're a team that's not going to win right now. They got Garrett Wilson.
They don't use him.
You could have Devontae Adams, and maybe they don't use him because Alan Lazard is open because all the attention is is on Garrett Wilson.
True.
And does that open up more options for Aaron Rodgers, who has a great connection with Devontae Adams as it is, and you have an out after this year? That would be a, hey, you're not going to win a Super Bowl necessarily, but you could figure some things out and you're going to be happy with Aaron Rodgers for at least this year, and then we'll see where you're at moving forward. Pittsburgh's also a team that popped up. They got in on that Brandon Ayuk deal too. They were one of the teams rumored to be in the Brandon Ayuk sweepstakes. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with a big start from them and Justin Fields kind of finding his group, he played well. And he has played well the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
but they didn't lose this week because of Justin Fields. That's for damn sure.
No, they ironically, they lost because the number one QB got hurt and the number two was much better and much more efficient. I want to go back to San Francisco, though, because the more that we talk about it, especially with it, you know, the ability to get out of Adams' contract after 1 year, why wouldn't they go and take a stab at him? You know, because right now Debo's been hurt. You don't know if you're going to get CMC back at all. It's now come out, at least from what I saw on X, he's got Achilles tendonitis in both Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to see him this year. That's a brutal injury, and you don't want to rush him back ever, because when you have that tendonitis, it's just as easy for that thing to pop. We saw that's what happened with Kevin Durant, right? So for me, if it's a one-year rental, why wouldn't San Francisco go and try and make the play for him? Ayuk's been underperforming. You got to think that he'll eventually figure it out because, you know, he's playing through missing training camp and all that stuff. But if you can go and win now, because this team is going to lose some of these big-name pay guys, why not go and take a shot at the rental?
I have a good reason for that. And there's also another team we need, or two other teams that we need to keep an eye out for in Devontae Adams. But for San Francisco, there's one big factor that could be in the way. That, to start hour number three of Danny and Dusty, an Ordinary and Dusty edition on The Fan.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.